Hello and welcome to Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM and on chmafm.com. We're broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, on the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. It's Friday, February 11th. Coming up on today's show.
This is what we have to do. We have to start standing up. It's the only way it's going to stop. We have to start going into places without masks. I want to support the small businesses, but how can I do that?
That's protester Kate Sierra speaking to Bruce Work on Thursday morning outside the entrance to Tantramar Regional High School. Sierra was one of a dozen protesters gathered to demand an end to mask rules for children. Thanks to Bruce Work, we'll bring you some more voices from that protest. We'll also get the update from pharmacist Charles Beaver about recent changes to eligibility for booster shots. And finally, we'll take a listen to what some councillors are thinking about Councillor Bill Evans's proposal for a boycott of further participation in amalgamation. But first, CHMA's daily news and information briefs. Public Health reported 3 new COVID-related deaths on Thursday, bringing New Brunswick's total during the pandemic to 278. The number of people in hospital with the virus reached 140, including 15 people receiving intensive care and 8 people on a ventilator. COVID-19 restrictions are expected to loosen in New Brunswick on Friday, February 18th at midnight. In Sackville, the Drew Nursing Home reported another positive case of COVID-19 among its staff on Thursday. Linda Shannon, executive director of the facility, previously told CHMA there have been 13 recent cases among staff, but most are back to work. 9 residents at the Drew Nursing Home recently tested positive for COVID-19, though some have recovered. That number remained unchanged by Thursday, Shannon said in an email. Across New Brunswick, there are 52 nursing homes with active cases of COVID-19, according to Rebecca Howland, a spokesperson for the Department of Social Development. Of those facilities, approximately 25 have been classified as outbreaks. Ahead of a protest against COVID restrictions planned this weekend in Fredericton, police have announced street closures in the provincial capital. In a message on social media, Fredericton police asked members of the public to avoid the protest area unless absolutely necessary. The town of Sackville is asking for help from the public in naming its newest vehicle, a snowplow truck. The winner of the naming contest will win a ride in the truck. You can take part by leaving your suggestion on a post about the new plow truck on the town of Sackville's Facebook page. Tantramar Climate Change Week wraps up today with events including a talk by the Town of Sackville's Climate Change Coordinator, Kirsty Mrazek. She'll be speaking about the effects of climate change on the oceans and what's being done about it. That free online event is happening between noon and 1 p.m. The final event of the week is Climate Change Virtual Trivia Night, taking place at 7 p.m. For more information, check out eosecoenergy.com. The so-called Freedom Convoy protests in Ottawa have inspired some Sackville residents to take to the streets, though with signs targeting mask policies in schools instead of vaccine mandates. A dozen anti-mask protesters gathered Thursday morning on Main Street at the entrance to Tantramar Regional High School. Holding signs saying "Unmask the Children," "End All Mandates," and "Freedom Now," the small group marched down to Mallard Drive and back to the school before dispersing. By Thursday afternoon, the Anglophone East School District had sent out a letter to parents saying that they were aware of messages circulating on social media inviting families to protest against public health protections. The letter went on to say that demonstrations announced in other regions are causing feelings of anxiety among many staff and students. The message then asked parents not to demonstrate on or near school grounds or school district offices, and also not to encourage children to participate. Local journalist Bruce Bork was there on Thursday morning and spoke to some of the protesters, including Shannon Estabrooks, who was joined by her 2 kids, 17 and 10 years old.
Why are you here today?
To stop the mandates, the mask mandates for the children.
And why? Why do you want to do that?
Because it hasn't been proven to be effective at all. We shouldn't be muzzling our children for something they're not even at risk for.
Yeah, and what do you want instead?
For things to go back to the way they used to be, so kids can play sports and not have to worry whether they have to wear a mask or be vaccinated, so they can learn in an environment where they're not stressed out all the time.
Estabrooks told Work she felt masks weren't working because COVID cases and hospitalizations were higher than ever this year. Work asked her what she hoped to achieve by protesting.
I just want people to see that us parents are sick of it. I don't think it's going to change anything at all. But at least the more people that keep standing up, we are seeing progress across the country. So our little town needs a little bit of a change too.
Kate Sierra was also there Thursday morning and told Work she helped organize the protest on behalf of her grandchildren and their kids.
And why are you here today?
I'm here just for the freedom of our kids. We want our lives back. This masking is ridiculous in the schools. Kids want to go back to school, be with their friends, do in-school learning, and they're not allowed to unless they have a mask on. Parents need to stand up for their kids. I'm standing up for my grandchildren and their kids, and it's just what it's about. We have to get back to our normal lives. This is not normal.
What do you say to people who say, well, the masks are effective in preventing transmission?
I say do your own research and see that they are not. And it has been proven by scientists, doctors. Just do your own research. Stop just listening to everyone. Just do your own research.
Last month, CHMA actually spoke to a researcher who had been specifically studying PPE and filtration properties of masks during the pandemic.
My name is Catherine Clace. I'm a professor of medicine at McMaster University, and I'm a member of the McMaster Center of Excellence in Protective Equipment and Materials. At the beginning of the pandemic, I wrote an opinion piece with a number of my colleagues from around the world, suggesting that masks might be useful, specifically cloth masks at the time, pointing out that they had useful filtration properties. We went on to write a review article on the filtration properties of cloth masks. And we do research on masks and PPE.
Clace wasn't deep into mask research before the pandemic. She became interested soon after it started in order to help protect her patients.
I'm actually a kidney doctor, and the reason that I became interested in this is because I wanted to protect patients who are treated with maintenance hemodialysis, because they have to come into a hospital two or three times a week, and we're really at increased risk.
Right. So you're working directly with some of the more vulnerable people in this pandemic.
Exactly, and that was what motivated us to get started in this area, and it's a very powerful motivator for me, because many of my patients are vulnerable. Many of my patients are taking immunosuppressive drugs and will not be fully protected by vaccination.
Clay says that researchers have been refreshing their recommendations when it comes to masks in the wake of the increased transmissibility of the Omicron variant. The best mask out there these days is an N95 or KN95 respirator, says Clace, but that doesn't mean other masks are not worth the trouble.
So my bottom line is any mask is better than no mask, and that's still true. But I think it's important now that everybody knows a little more about masks and wears the best mask that they have access to.
This week, along with the announcement of a return to level 1 restrictions as of February 19th, the province opened up further eligibility for vaccinations. I called up local pharmacist Charles Beaver to get the lowdown. Charles Beaver, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here, Erica.
So I wanted to get, you know, some of the latest updates on the vaccination program from a pro. Can you tell us what exactly has changed this week in the vaccination program in New Brunswick?
Well, I'm glad you asked. The biggest news, or two biggest pieces of news, are first off, Pfizer's widely available now. There's good supply, and that means that folks over 30 who were limited to Moderna for the most part can now request and receive Pfizer. And the biggest news is that children ages 12 to 17 years old can now also receive a booster dose once 5 months has passed since their second dose.
Okay. All right. So the third round, or the booster round, at least, the 12 to 17 folks are eligible. Do you expect a large number of people that's going to affect a large number of people around here?
Yes, we've already seen, you know, quite a few signups, and I don't think, to be honest, it was really all that widely publicized. So hopefully getting the word out, parents can register their children ages 12 to 17 if they want to come to the Corner Drugstore. It's register at www.thecornerdrugstore.ca or for a government vaccination clinic, gnb.ca/book-a-vaccine. The caveat to this is NACI, the national sort of regulator of vaccinations, hasn't actually given the guidance yet for ages 12 to 17. So we require what we always require, which is informed consent, where, you know, the guardian or child, if 16 or over, indicates that they are requesting this booster dose, which we always do anyway, I suppose.
Okay, I see. Yeah, so this is New Brunswick sort of like this has happened on occasion before where we've sort of gotten out ahead of NACI because it's expected that it will, the recommendation will come. Is that sort of what's going on here?
Yes. You know, I'm only speculating, but we know we have lots of supply and we know this work is going to need to be done. And we know that it protects people. We also know that it's very safe and effective in those age groups. So there's no reason not to, and every reason to move forward as quickly as possible. And it's certainly not too late for anybody who happens to be over 18 and wishes to receive their booster, same rules, 5 months or more since their second dose. We have availability, and I'm sure the public health vaccination clinics as well have lots of availability.
Okay, that's great. So yeah, so if you've been holding up for Pfizer, now is your time. If you're over 30 and have been holding up for Pfizer, you can make your appointment, I guess, and the 12 to 17 folks out there as well. Their time to sign up. Okay, thanks so much for, again, keeping us informed about all this, Charles. I appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, Erica, and you have a good day.
That was Corner Drugstore pharmacist owner Charles Beaver. Sackvillians can get appointments for vaccinations through the Jean Coutu Drugstore or the Corner Drugstore, and there are also occasional clinics operated by the Vitalité Health Network at the Sackville Visitor Information Center. The next clinic by Vitalité is taking place next Thursday, February 17th, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. During the last hour of the clinic, from 3 to 4, kids aged 5 to 11 will be able to get their shots. People can book a vaccine appointment at gnb.ca/book-a-vaccine or through Jean Coutu or Corner Drugstore websites. Sackville Town Council's Committee on Municipal Reform met for the second time this past Wednesday and spent most of their meeting discussing the pros and cons of ward systems and at-large systems and which might be the best fit for a new amalgamated Entity 40. Tanchamar Report will have more coverage of that debate on Monday's show, hearing from two political scientists. Near the end of the meeting, Councillor Bill Evans shared his plan to make a formal motion at Monday's council meeting, instructing staff and council not to participate in the province's process. Most have agreed that the province will push forward with its plan to amalgamate Sackville, Dorchester, and surrounding areas, but it's also widely acknowledged that the province itself has not put significant resources towards executing that process. The province has hired a consultant with no direct municipal experience, Chad Peters, to spend about 1 day per week at a rate of $1,200 per day to facilitate the amalgamation. The bulk of the actual work seems like it will be left to existing staff in Sackville and Dorchester, who will be doing the work on top of their regular jobs. What would happen should Sackville Town Council instruct its staff not to participate with Chad Peters is unknown, and we may not find out. Four council members weighed in on Wednesday night as to whether or not they would support a boycott of the province's amalgamation process. Here's Deputy Mayor Andrew Black, Councillor Bruce Finney, and Councillor Michael Tower, who all said they would choose to work with the government.
I think I've made my position fairly clear. I will participate. I'm on the advisory committee, and I will participate as much as possible. That being said, I know my concerns. I know the concerns that have been raised by my fellow councillors. I've heard some concerns from the community, not a lot, but I have heard some concerns, and I will voice those and I will push hard for answers and or some give from the facilitator and the province. So yes, I will participate, but I will grudgingly participate.
I will be working with the government to turn around and try and see what we can do in the best interest of the people of the town. Do I agree with the process completely? No. Is the process necessary? It has been for a number of years. Looking for the best way of trying to get things into the process that are going to be beneficial to the people of the town. I'm going to work on that way because I think that's the best way to go, as a matter of fact. I mean, it's going to happen. We keep saying it's going to happen, whether we like it or not.
I wasn't going to answer that question right now. I was going to put it to Monday night. But my two cents worth right now is that I will grudgingly work with the system, but I'm working for the community. I'm not working for the province. And so I want to make sure that we give our two cents worth to show where the government is going wrong, which should be very easy for us. But I also want us to be able to bring the information back so we can inform the people just what a sham, as Councillor Evans says, this is. It is pathetic, but I think that we need to keep the information flow going, give our two cents worth, speak against certain ideas, which I'm sure is going to be a lot of them, because they have a mandate, and I think we have to be part of it to make sure we on the other side can say you're wrong for these reasons, and then that can be brought back for the public to know going forward.
That was Sackville Town Councillor Mike Tower, and before him Councillor Bruce Finney and Deputy Mayor Andrew Black. One councillor who spoke on Wednesday said she would support a motion to boycott the process, while also resolving to work with the province if it failed. Here's Councillor Sabina Dietz.
My feeling on that is I would support council if council voted to not participate in the process. But I'm also with Andrew. I'd try to push all along if that's not the case. I will make sure that we push all along to an improvement of the process. So those are the two. I mean, of course, there's the third one and just saying, oh, OK, we go along. But that's not an option. So I see those three pathways of refusing to participate in an essentially undemocratic and flawed process as a protest measure. The second one is participating, but with clear pressures all along of improving the process as much as possible. And the third one is saying, OK, well, let's just get steamrolled and, it's OK.
Council meets Monday at 7 p.m. for their regular monthly meeting, and municipal reform is on the agenda near the end of that meeting. To attend at Town Hall in person, residents need to register in advance with Town Clerk Donna Beale, and the meeting is also open online. That's it for Chanchamar Report for this Friday, February 11th. As always, we hope you will get in touch with your comments or questions at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.